16. Foxy was waiting for me at her house. She handed me another Tupperware container full of sandwiches. You'll want these, I imagine, and have some food. This is insane, isn't it? I said. Oh, you're completely out of your head, said Foxy agreeably, heating up meatloaf in my grandmother's ancient microwave. She pushed it toward me. Tomas came in. I wasn't sure how much he knew, but he looked at me and said, It's a bad idea. So I figured he knew enough. I know, I said, but I have to. Saying it out loud made it sound even more fragile. Did I? Why? Because somebody had drawn Kilroy on a scrap of paper? Somebody sent me a note asking for help. Tomas nodded. He went into the back of the house, and I heard a door open and close. I was dragging the last forkful of meatloaf through the gravy when he returned. He was wearing a battered leather jacket and hiking boots. I'm coming with you, he said. I stared at him, blinking stupidly. What? Look, my mama would beat me senseless if I let you and Foxy go off without me. Don't be stupid, said Foxy sharply. You gotta stay here and take care of the place. We can't both go. I'm half your age, said Tomas. So you got more to live for. You're both nuts, I said, rising out of my chair. You can't come with me. I'm going to get killed. Better to do it in company, then, said Foxy. I ain't scared. Tomas, you're staying here and that's final. She folded her arms. Is your name on the deed and the power bill? This was not a line of argument I expected her to take. We both stared at Foxy. So? Said Tomas. So you ain't got a will. So if you die, they're gonna take the whole place and throw Skip out on his ear and shut off the power. So you gotta live, and maybe that'll teach you not to die intestate like a damn fool. Tomas's mouth opened and closed. He looked at me, but there was absolutely nothing I could say to this, and also I was still dealing with the fact that Foxy was coming with me. But, Foxy, don't argue. I got a will all made out and notarized. I looked at her. She was wearing ripped jeans over black fishnets and the sort of spiked boots that you'd wear to a punk show. Her lipstick was a particularly savage shade of pink. She was perhaps the most unlikely bodyguard I could imagine, but the alternative was going alone with my dog. Notarized? I said weakly. Yeah, and I had to pay $5 to have that done, so I don't want to hear any more about it. I finished my meatloaf in defeat. I tried one more time before we left, standing in the doorway. Are you sure? I mean, this is way past being neighborly. I ain't paid you for the moose head or the microwave, said Foxy. And if we all come back, I ain't going to. I just looked at her. Astonishingly, a little bit of flush started to creep up her sharp old face. Look, she growled. You're doing a dumb thing for a good reason, and maybe I'm not that different from Tomas. If I let you go off in the woods and get et by holler people or whatever it is they do, I wouldn't be able to look myself in the mirror anymore. She rallied a bit. And I gotta look in the mirror, make up this good doesn't happen blind. Thanks, I said. She snorted. Don't thank me too hard. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit curious about what's on the other side of those stones. Yeah, well, I held the door open for her. I was pretty scared. She went out past me, hefting her backpack strap over her shoulder. Oh, don't worry. You still ought to be. There were still a few hours of light left as we set off into the woods. Bongo bounced around on the end of his leash in enormous good spirits. I hoped this was a good sign. If he had been terribly traumatized by visiting the place or someone had put a note in his collar, he didn't show any sign of it. "Probably should start out in the morning," said Foxy. "But I ain't looking forward to another night waiting for monsters to come in the windows. You and me both." Leaves crunched underfoot as we walked. The house vanished behind us. "I don't know where we're going," I confessed. "I figured we'd start at the Stones. I think sort of this way-ish. But Bongo led the way the first time. Think he can find it again?" We both looked at Bongo. He was peeing meditatively against a tree stump. "I don't think there's any way to ask him," I confessed. "He's kind of an idiot." Foxy grinned. "Well, I got there by shooting a deer, and deer are about the dumbest animals in creation, so maybe we'll get lucky." In retrospect, if we'd been really lucky, we probably would have wandered around in circles for a bit and then gone home for more meatloaf. I still probably wouldn't sleep well at night, but I'd have managed. I could have convinced myself it was all an elaborate hoax and some weird neighbor had dressed up in a deer outfit to scare the crap out of me. But we weren't lucky like that. Bongo picked up a smell that was probably a vole under the leaves and dragged me after it, huffing on the end of his leash. When he reached the invisible spot he was after, he scuffed at the ground for a minute. Then, disappointed, he straightened up. I watched his nostrils working. His ears were lifted, alert, and then he struck out south and east. He wasn't quite running, but moving with the concentration of a dog on a mission. "It doesn't mean anything," I muttered, to myself or to Foxy or both. "He does this for squirrels, too." It wasn't a squirrel. It was something else. He began to move faster and faster into a ground-eating lope, tail up like a flag. I glanced beside me. Foxy was keeping up, despite the heels on her boots. "Don't mind me," she panted. "There's a lot of holes. Hun, I've been living in these woods my whole life. You just watch your own feet." "Yes, Foxy." We veered more south than I remembered. I was starting to wonder if maybe we were chasing a squirrel after all, when there was the dry stream bed. Despite the recent rains, the leaves were dry and crackling instead of slimy. Small blessings, I suppose. In what seemed like no time at all, we reached the wicker-like tunnel. It was still dry and dead-looking, and the afternoon shadows were starting to lengthen under it. I ducked down into it while Bongo sniffed along the leaves. "Phew," said Foxy. "Not the way I came last time. Or maybe it was, and stuff grew up around it." We went forward. Pretty soon, we were almost jogging along. There was a sense of urgency that I can't explain. Part of it was the desire to get to the Stones before the sun went down. But there was something else, too. As if a door was closing, and we had to reach it before it shut. No, not like that. As if a door was opening, and we had to be out of the room before whatever was on the other side came through. Foxy hooked her hand under the strap of my backpack. I glanced back, surprised. "I ain't slowing down," she said, although she was breathing hard. "But feeling weird." "Your heart?" I said, panicky. "Are you—" "No, not my heart. Don't make me slap you upside the head. My heart's fine." She rolled her eyes. "I mean, it feels like you're going on ahead of me, and it's getting harder to follow. I'm thinking something doesn't want me along." She tightened her grip on my pack. "Ain't gonna give it the satisfaction." I nodded. Bongo was hauling on his leash now, whining at our slowness. The tunnel tilted upward. I had to hunch over, feeling Foxy's knuckles still hard against my shoulder blade. We had to hurry. The door was opening, and if we weren't quick, there was a single hollow tock on the other side of the wicker, and my heart lurched. If it had stopped there, I could have convinced myself it was a woodpecker. Maybe. But it didn't stop there. The noise came again and again, louder, until it was directly beside me. If the wall had not been in the way, I could have reached out and touched it. Tock, tock, tock. The sounds of stones in a hollow chest of bones. Bongo began to run. It was there. Tock, tock, tock. I could hear the stones rattling and the sound of its feet hitting the ground and a strange scraping noise, like scissors opening and closing. Is that what it sounds like when bones run? All that stood between us and the effigy were thin dead branches and dry vines woven between them. I could see flashes of light and shadow through the gaps, and I thought, inanely, I knew it could go out in the day. I knew it. It could have been there all this time, watching me. Bongo heaved forward against the leash, and I ran after him, trying to remember if there were gaps in the tunnel, if there was a place where the effigy could come through. Please, no. God, no. I remember very little of that flight up the hillside. I don't know how long it took. It must have been much lighter than I remember it being, because it was only late afternoon, but in my memory, it is a dark, closing tunnel. I could not see my feet. Occasionally, I would catch a flash of brightness from the metal rings on Bongo's collar. I ran blind, and Foxy ran behind me, and outside the tunnel, the effigy kept pace. Was it on the left? The right? I didn't want to look because if I looked, maybe I'd see it. And if I saw it, I was afraid I'd fall down and curl into a ball until it ate me. Tock, tock, tock. Oh, God, was there more than one? It seemed to come from both sides. Oh, God, let that be echoes. Let it not be two of them. I can't handle two of them. I can't even handle one of them. Oh, God. Something struck the wicker tunnel. The precarious root and vine frame bowed sideways, and fragments of bark and dried leaf rained down on us. The walls shook wildly as whatever it was, shut up, you know what it is, slammed against the side, and the tock, tock, tock was no longer a woodpecker knock, but a staccato like gunfire. Foxy never faltered. I must have paused because she shouted in my ear, "Keep moving!" And I lunged forward while Bongo heaved upward at the end of the leash. Foxy was in better shape than I was, for all that she was close to twice my age. When my backpack began to slide down, she wedged it back up on my shoulder, and pretty soon she was pushing me forward, and Bongo was pulling, and the effigy rattled the hagstones in its ribs, and I dragged air into my chest that stabbed like knives, and not suddenly at all, not anywhere close to suddenly, an eternity later, we fell out of the wicker tunnel and into the field of twisted stones.